We don't often talk about getting rid of medications. On the health report, we often talk about what you could potentially add. But this notion of deprescribing, Norman, getting rid of medications, is something that we don't often do very well as clinicians. I will put my hand up. I often have to have more courage to get rid of stuff than to actually prescribe something.
One of the words we got taught on when I was a medical student back in the 19th century was where we were taught clinical therapeutics, in other words, about drugs and so on. And the first thing they did when somebody came into the ward with an acute illness, they stopped all their medications.
Wow.
Every single one of them just stopped. But they were in hospital and being monitored, and then just build back the medications they needed. So they might have come in on 9 and they go home on 1.
We don't do it like that anymore.
No. Well, they were in hospital.
Yeah, okay, so they were monitored. Look, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA people would know it as, have released guidelines on how to de-prescribe for clinicians, because particularly as we get older, being on too many medications might be problematic. So to talk about de-prescribing, I spoke to a medication detective, is what she calls herself, Deborah Hawthorne, who's a consultant pharmacist in rural Victoria.
So the definition of polypharmacy really does change depending on where you are in the world and really what area you're working in. But generally speaking, it's 5 or more medications. And then there's also the term ultra polypharmacy, which is 9 or more medicines.
So why is it risky, particularly as people get older?
Yeah, so there's about 2 million people in Australia alone that are experiencing polypharmacy. But I think it's really important to mention here that polypharmacy is not necessarily bad. So there's polypharmacy and then there's inappropriate polypharmacy. So inappropriate polypharmacy is when the medicines might potentially be causing harm, but often being on 5 or more medications can be really appropriate for the person.
So when you say causing harm, it might be that a particular medicine is making someone feel lightheaded, it might increase their risk of falls, but also if you're on lots of different medications that they might potentially interact and cause problems because they don't agree with each other. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. So you've got the side effects, but also the drug interactions. And then, we can go into things on more of a cellular level, and people's bodies change over time. And even our bodies can affect medicines differently. For example, something like chronic kidney disease, it can also change the way your body utilizes medication or gets rid of it or metabolizes it. So lots of different things when it comes to inappropriate polypharmacy.
How many people does it put in hospital? Do we have a rough estimate on the kind of impact it can have?
Look, they say there's about 250,000 admissions to hospital every year from medication misadventure. So that would include things like polypharmacy, but it would also include things like overdose or underdose or all those sorts of things. But it's definitely a high contributor. And often we hear about something called medication misadventure. So, we could be on so many medicines that things can get really tricky. There could be communication barriers between our healthcare teams or just different levels of health literacy, I guess, and understanding what we need to take, when we need to take. And the greater the number of medications you're on, the greater polypharmacy, potentially the greater risk you are of having harm.
So that's when deprescribing, this notion of actually getting rid of medications potentially, becomes really important. How good is the health profession at deprescribing?
I think it really depends on an individual's level of comfort with deprescribing medications, as well as how the person also feels about it. For example, you've got a patient cohort that is really pro removing medicines. They're the people that say, oh gosh, I feel like I'm rattling, and is there anything I can stop taking? Or I'm sure one of these medicines might be making me feel sick. And sometimes we don't even know as clinicians why they're always on these medications. And so in my role as a home medication review pharmacist, I get to review all the medicines that people are on and often support my GP colleagues in sort of understanding why this medication was started, when it was started, what the patient thinks it's for, and potentially start that conversation and start that buy-in from the person that potentially they're on a medication that could be causing them harm. One of my pet hates is making that statement of, you're going to be on this medication for life. Mm. When patients hear that, They truly believe it and they will never forget it. You know, sometimes I go into people's homes as part of this HMR home medicine review program, and they told me that Dr. X prescribed this medicine for them 25 years ago and they said they'd be on it for the rest of their life. And I sort of, you know, delve into it deeper. Well, Dr. X actually retired 10 years ago and medication moves on and we're learning things and developing new drugs and there are new medicines coming out all the time that could potentially be better. You know, we used to say, what was the expression? An aspirin a day keeps the doctor away. Well, you know, that
things
thought process
are different.
Has really moved on. Exactly.
That's so you've just mentioned, Deb, this home medicines review, which is where a pharmacist can go into the home, look at what someone is taking and provide really good advice to the regular GP, for instance, on what could potentially be removed, what might be interacting, what might be causing the side effect of cough or falls. A lot of people might be listening going, never heard of it. How do people access it? Can you self-refer as a patient?
Oh, I wish. So that's one of the main barriers to the program, actually, is, you know, while I love my GP colleagues, they're the only ones who can refer to a pharmacist, especially trained pharmacist like myself, who's done a couple extra degrees on top of pharmacy to get this. So a best way for a patient to, I guess, self-refer is to actually speak to their GP, which is super important because it really doesn't matter what I do in the person's home or, you know, come up with a great de-prescribing regime. It's got to go back to the GP at the end of the day to get that go ahead and they can say, yes, this is appropriate and go from there. But the other unfortunate barrier, and I think it's because of particularly funding issues, is I'm actually only allowed to see 30 patients a month.
Okay.
So I'm only allowed to provide reviews for 30 people. So that means, you know, if there's 20 working days, if we're doing Monday to Friday, that's 1.5 people a day.
But you're also in a remote community, like in a regional community. So
I am, yes.
I imagine there's not many people doing what you do.
No.
So Deb, in your time, are there any specific patient examples that stick out to you where you've done a review and it's led to really significant positive outcomes?
Yeah, I've got hundreds, but I guess the main ones that stick out for me are those ones that have really turned people's lives around. So quite often I'll get a referral for a home medicine review because someone's had a fall and the GP or their carer or whoever has initiated it. You know, I'm thinking about this one particular lady who's still living at home and that's her goal. She wants to stay home with her husband and she's mentally firing all fours, like she's completely cognitively with it, but she kept on having falls time and time again. And when I reviewed her medicine, she was on quite a substantial dosing of opioids in combination with some medications that lower her blood pressure, in combinations with some other medicines that she was using to help with urinary frequency. So they're sort of medicines that dry you up. And so all three of those classes of medicines, of which she was on multiple, so she was probably on 6 or 7 of them, all together can contribute to the risk of falls, either through lowering blood pressure, making her a bit unsteady, and she was on a walker as well. Mm. And incredibly, we sort of focused on the opioids because her blood pressure sort of needed those medications. So we focused on the pain medicines and the medicines that wasn't even really helping with her urinary issues. And so we, over time, because quite often with de-prescribing, we go low, we go slow.
Oh, so slowly.
Yes, very slowly. Yes. So we actually find that the slower you go, the more success you'll have. And that's actually a big problem with de-prescribing is that we find that sometimes people just chop out a medicine so quickly, don't review it. And of course, it doesn't work. And of course, we get these rebound symptoms or these withdrawal symptoms. And then now we're in a position where the patient is no longer trusting of the deprescribing process and the clinician may no longer be trusting of the deprescribing process. So we're actually starting even further back than we were. So depending on the medicine, of course, some medicines we can just chop out, but medicines that cross the blood-brain barrier, so pain medicines, antidepressants, all those sorts of types of medicines, we like to go very slow and reassess at every step. But going back to the lady who we did take, so I actually set up a protocol for the GP. I sort of said, all right, weeks 2 to 4, let's decrease by this much. Weeks 6 to 8, let's decrease by this much. And of course, monitoring and all the rest along the way. And we managed to, I think we halved her opioid dose because sometimes we can't stop these things altogether and that's okay. But that was enough to stop her falling every second day. And she was so grateful.
Deborah Hawthorne, who's a consultant pharmacist in rural Victoria. There's also a story that some of our colleagues, Caitlin Davey and Jacinta Bowler, have done that's further around the home medicines review and what it could potentially look like if there was more funding, and that's going to be in the show notes.
On ABC Radio National, you're with a health report.